We're doing the Gemara in Sanhedrin. We had begun seeing the Ramban on the Rambam's third Shoresh, and we reached a point where really it was difficult to follow the Ramban's back and forth. The Ramban had been discussing the idea that we do give the death penalty. Look, we give the death penalty for Boel Aramit. We give the death penalty for Gonev Takasva. And so maybe we'll review the Ramban for a second. We'll give out the Rambans for a second.
What's this Shoresh thing?
Shoresh means root. We'll quickly see the Ramban for a second, and then we'll go on to the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Pei Aleph Amud Beis. And I thought that in honor of Hanukkah, okay, so in honor of Hanukkah that passed, we'll focus a little bit on these on this Gemara. It's a very enjoyable learning. It's a lot of Agatha in this Gemara. Yeah. And then we'll come back to our Rambam next week. We were supposed to do this on Hanukkah, but everyone canceled on me. Everyone said they wouldn't show, so we canceled it.
I would have come, but I did not contact
everyone. Else told me they wouldn't come. So, okay, so let's see.
Could we madgish this class?
For who?
Rav Bass, who just had a baby boy.
So he should have a lot of nachshon's baby boy. I don't know his personal name, but the tzaddik, the son of Rav Gershon, should have much hatzlacha in all of his life. The Rambam had stressed that you only count mitzvos that are relevant for generations. And then he asked, why does Baal Halachos Gedolos enumerate v'lo yavo lirot kevalat ha-kodesh, that the Torah says the Levim shouldn't stick around when they're covering up the holy vessels, and that's not a mitzvah for generations. And then the Ramban had said, wait a second, we certainly do seem to learn that that's a mitzvah for generations, because you have the din of Gonevet HaKasva, which is the Mishnah we're about to see. And you see, Kanaim Pogimbo, how could you kill him for stealing an item of Hegdish if not for the fact that this mitzvah is for generations? And that's, in a nutshell, where the Ramban was headed. And we're going to start with the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, Pei Aleph Amud Beis, which is really the sugya that the Ramban was referring to. And I figure our point in this class is to familiarize ourselves with concepts in Tanakh and Shas. So it's a good tangent to go on. Very, very important Gemara. So we're up to Sanhedrin, Pei Aleph Amud Beis, the bottom Mishnah. Hagonev ta kasva, and the Gemara is also going to ask, what is this kasva? V'amkalel bakosem, someone who curses with the sorcerer, which the Gemara is going to have two understandings. What does that mean? V'aboel aramit, and a person who has relations with aramit, which Rashi automatically tells us is a general term for a non-Jewish woman. Kana'in pogein bo. Okay, so that needs understanding. Is it a mitzvah? Is it a rishos? Is it a chiyuv? What does it mean? Kana'in pogein bo. Kohen sheshimesh betuma. If a kohen served in the Beis HaMikdash when he was tameh, inechav kohanim vinto lebetin. The other kohanim wouldn't bother bringing him to court. Ela pichei kohanim motzin oto chutz la'azara umafzin et mocho begzirin. But the young kohanim would take him out of the azara and open his skull with their axes. Zar sheshimesh b'mikdash, Rabbi Kiva omer b'chenek, chachmim murim b'dei shamayim. If someone who is a non-kohen served in the Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Kiva says he gets a death penalty at the hands of the court, and Chachamim say, Pidei Shemaim.
Is the Gemara going to explain if what the Kohanim did was halachically?
Yeah, all of this is, we're going to see all of this in the Gemara. All of this, yeah. Let's see, that seems to be, says the Mishnah. Hakasva mifaresh bagmara. Aramit batovet kochavim. Now, we have to understand that this is a very weird din kaneim pogimbo. Ordinarily, we don't punish en onshin elaim ken mazirin. There are very few exceptions. We have a rule. You have to have warning. You have witnesses. You have edim batra, and the witnesses heard batra. You have a whole system to ensure that the guy did it on purpose. Here, suddenly, we have a separate din. Kanein pogimbo. So that needs work. Secondly, who's to say who could do this? Okay. Rashi tells us, kanein pogimbo, bnei adam kesherin. Okay. First of all, it has to be kosher individuals. Hamitkan'in kinato shel makom, who are zealous, the zealousness of the omnipresent. Very often people are zealous their own zealousness. They had a hard day at work. אז אוקיי, כנתו של מקום, פוגעים בו בשעה שרואים את המעשה. When they see him do it during the act, they could be pogea bo. Notice the Mishnah doesn't say kill him, doesn't say crack his skull, it says pogea. So the word pogea could have multiple meanings. אבל לאחר מכן אין מיטתו מסורה לבית דין, but after that the courts can't kill him. והלכה למשה מסיני. And this is הלכה למשה מסיני. And the question is, how do we read those words, לאחר מכן אין מיטתו מסורה לבית דין? Afterwards, it's not at the hands of the court. And beforehand it was? What does Rashi mean?
He can't be punished twice for the same.
Does Rashi mean that when the Kanai does it, he's considered a messenger of the court? Or does Rashi simply mean, even though ordinarily after a guy does an Avera, you could take him to court and they'll deal with him, here you can't do that.
Yeah.
You say the latter and I think the former.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm saying I see both Pshatim and Rashi. We'll hold off and see. Pogein, Rashi says, memitin, kmo lechu pgabo. You find that Shlomo said, lechu pgabo, about Yoav, okay. So you see that lifgoa could mean to kill. Gzirin or pakain, and he tells us a word in French, and I don't know French, but okay. Okay. If we were learning this more in depth, then we'd open up Loaze Rashi. Okay, says the Gemara, my kasva, we said in the Mishnah, he who steals a kasva, so he's one of those that kanaim pokimbo. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda was a disciple of Rav and Shmuel, second generation of Amoraim. Rav Yehuda said, kli sharet, it's one of the holy vessels that they used in the Bet HaMikdash. V'chenu omer v'et kesot ha-nasech, so you see that kesot ha-nasech, kesot is like kasva. V'hecha remiza,
so the samach, the sin, not the samach.
Yeah, sin and samach sometimes are interchangeable. V'hecha remiza, where do you have an allusion to this idea that you could give the death penalty for someone who steals the kasva? V'lo yavo lirot kivala et hakodesh v'metu. The Torah says the Levim shouldn't come see as the holy vessels of the Kodesh HaKodashim are wrapped up, lest they die. So the Pasuk is talking about the Levim. From here we derive another halacha. So again, what was the Ramban coming to defend? The Ramban is coming to defend Baal Halachos Gedolos, who enumerates Lo Yavo Lirot Kevalat HaKodesh as a biblical mitzvah. The Rambam said you can't enumerate mitzvos unless they're there forever. The Ramban said, wait a second, the Mishnah is telling me a din forever, Gonevet HaKasva. And the Mishnah is saying, it's alluded to by this Pasuk. If the Pasuk is short-lived, if the Pasuk doesn't apply today, so how would you know these apply today? Now, we already mentioned that the Ramban is very weak. It's a remez. No remez, do what you want. It's an illusion. You're not deriving it from there. So let's see Rashi. V'heicha remiza, tishaicha bamita. Rashi makes it even more distant. Where do you have an allusion that mita is relevant? Okay, kevalat hakodesh. What is bala? Leshon ganav. Shemavliin umachbiin. Bala is like to swallow up, like a thief. V'remez be'almahu. And this is a low level allusion. V'lo mikra nafik. It's not really derived from the pasuk. Di'ikal kra balviim katuv. The primary focus of the pasuk is regarding the leviim. They were cautioned not to watch as they folded things up for traveling. When they put the vessels inside their case, the people who came in were the Kohanim, Aaron and his sons. They'd cover up the Aaron, the Mizbechos. The Pasuk says Aaron will come. Okay, so what do we see here? On one end, we say the remez is from a pasuk. The Ramban wanted to say if the remez is from the pasuk, then the pasuk has to be long term, relevant forever. We would answer back in the name of the Rambam, what do you want? It's a remez. It's a remez.
Because the pasuk is used to remez halacha, therefore the pasuk is a mitzvah forever.
Yeah. If it's coming as a remez for a mitzvah that's forever, the Mishnah is relevant forever. Agonev takasva.
Yeah.
So then you have to take it from a pasuk that's relevant forever. You're not going to take it from umipri ha'etz asher b'toch hagan amar Elokim lo tochlu mimenu, right? You're not going to say ha'etz hadas was forbidden, so this is forbidden. You're going to take something that's still relevant. That's the Ramban's taina.
What about the Korbanot? Are we going to say it's relevant when the Beit HaMikdash HaShlishi comes, so it's still relevant?
Yeah, the Rambam himself writes that in the Sefer HaMitzvot, mm-hmm. that he counts the mitzvot of the Beit HaMikdash because there's only a technical difficulty in performing them. Mm-hmm. And he says the same thing about Lo Yavam Oni Umoavi. That's where the Rambam writes it. Not about the Beit HaMikdash, about that. And then he goes off on a whole tangent. He says, there are mitzvot that are relevant. We have a technical difficulty to perform them. But the mitzvah is waiting for you to perform it.
So how does he differentiate?
Well, if Hashem tells Moshe, hit the water, throw your staff and let it be a snake,
right.
It's a one-time mitzvah,
but
here,
why is Rambam so quick to... Or why does he hold that this is not one forever? How does he differentiate between this and Amalek, you know, whatever?
Because this was relevant to the Mishkan. It's not relevant to us now.
We don't have a Mishkan. I mean, the Mishkan is in the Beit
so...
No. If we had a Mishkan, if we took somehow we took the Mishkan back,
right? But all the mitzvos of the Mishkan were short lived mitzvos. They were with the intent they should be for only 40 years.
Never,
you're saying, how do you know that?
We're never gonna have a Mishkan
the
again.
The Torah
right?
says, right? Torah says, it's a Gemara in Megillah and in Zvachin that the Torah says, "Kilo vatem ad ata ela menucha ve'la nachala." This whole business of having a Mishkan and all the laws of the Mishkan is only because now you haven't yet come. Yeah. To the final resting place. But yeah. You see, there will be a place Hashem will choose, and that's going to be where you settle.
Beit HaMikdash replaced the Mishkan, right?
Right, but I'm saying this was also part of the plan in the Torah. I could quote you from Braisa Demleches HaMishkan that it says in Torah Shebal Peh, but I'm saying even in Torah Shebichsav you see it.
And the Ramban would say that it doesn't matter, it's still a mitzvah forever, even though we didn't finish
the Ramban. You're asking a good question. What does the Ramban hold? The Ramban so far is trying to say, look, Baal Lachos Gadolos agrees to the principle of Ramban. He also agrees you can't count the short-lived mitzvah. But this mitzvah is different. You see the...
Which mitzvah?
The mitzvah, lo yavo lirot kevalat hakodesh. The Levim shouldn't be around to see when you pack up the Kodesh HaKodashim. So Baal Halachos Gedolos enumerates that. The Ramban says, well, that pasuk teaches you something that is long term, and that is you can't steal from the Mikdash either, and if someone does, he gets a death penalty. So you'll tell me it's not the death penalty, it's Kana and Pogambo, it's Halach al Moshe Misinai. Fine. But if the Gemara uses it as a source for a long term mitzvah, you see the Gemara understood this pasuk is forever. It's not only when you have a Mishkan. Fair? Yeah? Should we review it again? Make Seder?
No, I understand. Although I don't necessarily see the logic in saying that because this myth, because we can learn out from this pasuk the idea of Kanayim Pogimbo by somebody who steals from the Mishnah, that's not the lingua from the pasuk. In other words, it's not the you have the murim. Sukkim, which aren't necessarily related to what it is that the mitzvah that the pasuk is talking about.
I hear. I think.
So how's it a proof against what the Baal Halachos is saying? I mean, it's not.
It's a proof for Baal Halachos. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So let's wait and see the Ramban again after we finish the whole Gemara. Because the Ramban is also going to try to draw from the continuation where the Gemara assumes that this idea of Kanaim Pogenbo means it's biblical. That means that if you can administer, it's like the court administering the death penalty, along the lines of what Rashi was leading us to. And then, once we see the full picture, then we'll be able to go back and understand the Ramban better. Now, the only thing is, I'm at odds with myself. I think you guys will really enjoy learning the full Gemara, because it's very interesting. What we really need for the Ramban is much less. But whenever in the past, whenever we went off on tangents, we did the full thing just so to broaden our horizons. That's part of our goal here. So I think we should do that. And then, okay. Next, Mamkalel Bakosem. It says another person that Kanaim Pogimbo, the Mishnah said, is Mekalel Bakosem. One who curses with the sorcerer. What does that mean? Tani Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef had a braisa that explained the Mishnah. If a person curses, yake kosim et kosimo. Let the sorcerer curse the one who gives him power to do his sorcery. So the guy thinks, oh, if I want to blaspheme, I need to tap into something. So who can I use to blaspheme? I'll say, yake kosim et kosmo. We have another Mishnah elsewhere in the Masechta that if a person blasphemes, so in Lohelek Lo Amaba, we have a whole thing about a person. And there the Gemara discusses what's called blasphemy. You could get the death penalty for it. What's called blasphemy? So there the Gemara says, yake yosi et yosi. Yosi is instead of yudke vavke. If a person blaspheme involves saying the curse should be from him onto himself. Yake yosi et yosi. He should curse himself, so to speak. That's blasphemy for that where he'll get the death penalty at the hands of the court. The court would give him the death penalty for that. This is different. This is where he says, let the sorcerer kill the one or curse the one who gives him power to do sorcery. That's Rav Yosef. That's how he explains mekalel bakosem, one who curses through a sorcerer.
That's the only way, first of all, that's the only way you can get death penalty through a blasphemy?
Okay, Yosef, okay. Yosef.
And what is he saying here? That who's tapping into what? Who's some guy is tapping into the sorcerer's power by saying
some guy wants to blaspheme, so he doesn't know how to do it.
He wants to blaspheme the
towards heaven.
He
wants to blaspheme towards heaven. So he doesn't know how am I gonna throw my curses upward. So he figures if I want to curse towards heaven, the only way I could do it is this: let the sorcerer be cursed or hit the source of his sorcery. Rabbanan v'item Rabba Bar Mari Amre, they say a different shot. Yakeu kosem lo ulkono ulmakno. He's upset at his friend. And he says like this, you Joe, let the sorcerer hit you, and let him hit your creator, and let him hit the one who created everything on the planet. So he's getting carried away. He curses his friend, then he keeps going on. So that's, the Mishnah says, Mekalel Bakosem, two different interpretations what the Mishnah means. And Mekalel Bakosem is one of those, the Kanaim Pogimbo. Vabuela Ramit. Okay, so this is the famous one. This sugya is divided between the top part and the middle part of the next page, and it's very important. We'll learn it. Bamnei Rav Kahana Merav. So there were a few Rav Kahanas in the Shas. There was a very late Rav Kahana, there was an early Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana asked Rav, Lo pagubo kanain mau. What happens? The guy went with an aramit and they didn't catch him, okay? So he's coming out and what can we do to him now? Beit Din can't do anything then. What can you do? In Sherav legamrei. Rav forgot his tradition. He knew and he forgot. They love these Gemaras. They give me a shot in the arm. Because the Gemara was so honest. So many times we think the rabbi has to remember everything off the cuff. No, you see, the Rav was the chief rabbi of Bavel. Sometimes you forget. Yeah, in Sheirav Legamrei. Rav forgot his tradition. Didn't remember how to answer him. Okay, so they left Sheir with a question mark. Rav, the Rebbe, they said, I don't know. I don't remember. I learned it once and I don't remember. Got to look it up. Okay. Akriyul Rav Kahana Bechalmei, so in Rav Kahana's dream, they read him the following pasuk. Bagedah Yehuda v'toivan asta b'Yisrael v'Yerushalayim ki chilel Yehuda kodesh Hashem asher ahev uval batkel necham. The pasuk says, Yehuda was rebellious, a disgraceful thing was done in Israel and in Jerusalem because Yehuda has desecrated the sanctity of Hashem and he has loved, he has desecrated the holiness that Hashem loves, and he has had relations with the daughter of a foreign god. That's the pasuk in Malachi. So he asked Baal Aramit, what's the din? His Rebbe Rav didn't remember. So at night, he had a dream where they quoted him this pasuk. Amalei comes back to Shir the next day and says, Hach yakiruyun, this is the pasuk that came to me at night. Ad kere Rav legalmei. Rav suddenly remembered, hey, right, that's pshat, right? That's what my Rebbe told me. Gamre Gemara means what he learned from his Rebbe. That's why very often the word Gemara Gemiri means the tradition we have all the way to Moshe. Sometimes people assume every Gemara Gemiri is Halachal Moshe Mi Sinai. That's the simple learning of the Gemara. Bezrat Hashem, after we finish this, I think our next stop is going to be to learn the Netziv's introduction to the Shiltos, and there the Netziv goes into proving from a Yerushalmi that it's not so simple. Not every time is it Allah al Moshe Misinai, like Be'emet Amru. Be'emet Amru is sometimes Allah al Moshe Misinai, but not always.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not what the Bartanura said.
It's what the Bartanura said in the first parak of Trumas.
He just said that it was like Halacha Moshe Misinai, but not exactly, in that it's going to be the Rabbanan.
Right.
Right,
no,
exactly. That's what you just contradicted yourself.
That's what I said, right. That Be'emet Amru is not always Halacha Moshe Misinai. Sometimes it isn't, sometimes it isn't.
But it's like it.
It's like it, right. That, like Mara Gemiri. It's a tradition we have that goes way back when, sometimes till Moshe, sometimes not.
It's raining.
Yeah, oh, Baruch Hashem. So Rav remembered the tradition he had, and the tradition he had was in this pasuk. Bagada Yuda, Judea rebelled. Zoavodat kochavim. V'chen umer begatem bibet Yisrael num Hashem. So that's called rebelling against Hashem. They started being pagans. V'toyvan asta b'Yisrael. What's called a disgraceful act? Uvirushalayim. Ze mishkav zachur. So the Torah calls Mishkav Zachur, the Torah calls it Toiva. So when it says Toiva Nasta b'Yisrael uVirushalayim, that's talking about Mishkav Zachur. Point Mishkav Zachur means men sleeping with men. So I always say this, Gemara teaches us something. People like to say they're not normal, they're crazy. No, you see, the Navi seems to say we have a history of it. So means a person has to be more cautious. The Gemara in Kiddushin, the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Yichud, they all treat it as something that a person has to be careful from. Not as something that, those wackos, that's what they want. You see, it's not that way. Not in the Gemara, not in the Mishnah, not in the Shulchan Aruch, not in the Gra. People don't like talking about it this way. It's much more comfortable to say they're all crazy. But no. I'm with you. I scared the wits out of someone last week when I told him this. Ever since then, he's been sending me an email all the time. Can I leave my son with his Rebbe? Can I leave my son with the guy who walks him home? I understand. Look, I'm happy I aroused his caution. Obviously, we have to live normal lives, but at the same time, be cautious, you know. Yeah?
Can you say the same thing, different word? Be cautious, why? I mean, is it like...
People think that a pedophile is a meshugana. No, that from the halacha, it doesn't seem that way. Seems like there can be a lot of normal people all around us, and no one knows what anyone else's yetzer is. And that's why the Gemara says, you have a Gemara in Shabbos, you have in many places. Here, the Gemara says, there was a time when this was. The Navi was talking about this problem in Yerushalayim and in Yisrael. What I told him was a historical proof. If it was something that was rampant among the Romans and the Greeks, so what are you going to say? Everyone's yetzer changed? If it was something that was a norm in Roman and Greek times, so now what? Now everyone's different. There's no such yetzer. No, you see, historically, I'm not even talking about from the Gemara. And so
we say that people's yetzer changed in terms to
idol worship.
Incest.
There's a Gemara. Yeah. That Gemara about idol worship and incest tells us a big chiddush. That it took a whole thing with Zechariah Navi and Nanchiknes Sagadola and a whole Kabbalistic thing to capture one Yetzer Hara. Yeah, where the Gemara said it, fine. Okay. But Stam Kacha, people don't like hearing it. But that doesn't seem to be the approach we were taught by Chazal. They said a person should be careful from it. They said, don't leave a bachelor to teach little boys. That's a Mishnah in Kiddushin. Mishnah says that you shouldn't do that. So the Gemara says, no, Am Yisrael is not choshed on Mishkav Zachor. It's because of their mothers that are going to come pick them up. So the Rishonim say it depends on the generation. Some generations they are choshed on Mishkav Zachor, and some generations not.
Yeah.
So the Tur and the Beis Yosef, and then the Gra, and then it depends on which generation. You have generations where it wasn't rampant and it wasn't common, and then you could say, Lo chashudim Yisrael al Mishkav Zachor, and then you have generations where you go back to the Ikra Din, Pashup Shat in the Mishnah, where the Mishnah says, don't leave a bachelor to teach little boys.
Right, so because they were on a high enough level to control themselves, they weren't chashud?
I don't know how that works. That's a discussion that was in the days of the Chazon Ish. Is Mishkav Zachar like smoking or not? Meaning smoking, there are certain taivas that a person has after the first time he tried it. That was a machlokas among the Achronim. Some wanted to say that Mishkav Zachar is something that a lot of people have just naturally, and some wanted to say no. It's only if a person tried it like smoking. You did it once, twice, okay, then you can get into the habit and navigate it for it. Okay.
Maybe it's something that only exists in certain, or not, it's only rampant in certain generations. If there were periods of the Gemara that they said that this was quite rampant, and I'd say that probably today you could claim the same thing that's become quite rampant, whereas maybe 100, 200 years ago, sure, less people talked about it, but it was probably less rampant then too.
Today it's an in thing. If you want to be special, you say you're like that. Today a lot of it is psychological. Meaning, why should I be like you? You're like this and you're like that and you're like that. I don't want to be like everyone else. So the easiest way for me to do it is to say I'm special in that.
People rebel in other, more regular ways.
No, I
don't think people do it to be special. I mean.
You'd be surprised.
Maybe it's very special.
Okay, back to our Gemara. So at any rate, the Gemara says, so Rav started reviewing, okay, this is the tradition I have, how to break down this pasuk. The pasuk then says, "Ki chilel Yehuda kodesh Hashem zuzona." That's because they were going to brothels. V'chein umer lo yeh lo tiyeh kedeshah mibnot Yisrael. So kodesh Yisrael. That's a reference to that. Uval bat kel neichar. He was intimate with the daughter of a foreign god. Zabalakutit. That's a reference to someone who lives with a non-Jewish woman. V'chtiv batrei. What does the very next pasuk say? Yachet Hashem neisha sheyasena. Hashem will cut off for that person, Er, the Gemara is going to define that in a minute, ve'one, and someone who replies, who davens, who speaks, melokei Yaakov, v'magish mincha l'Hashem tzvakot, and one who would bring a sacrifice to Hashem. In talmid chachamu, lo yelo er b'chachamim. If he is a talmid chacham, so he won't have a say among the talmid chachamim. He won't have room among them. Ve'im ve'one batalmidim, and he won't have room to say anything among the students. In kohenu lo yelo ben magish mincha l'Hashem tzvakot. If he is a kohen, so he won't have a son who brings a mincha. Okay, so before we continue, let's see the Rashi. Lo pagu bo kana'im ma'u, says Rashi, ma onesh badavar. What's Rashi adding on the Gemara?
He's asking what's the punishment? Either it's Beit Din or what's Kanaim?
No, so what did we understand without Rashi?
Without Rashi, we decided that if it was the Kanaim who got to him first, then the Beit Din wasn't an option. And if the Kanaim didn't get to him, then Beit Din, I guess, could be punishment.
No, that was the question.
We don't know what the punishment is.
So let's hold off. We'll get back to this Rashi in a minute. Anshe Rav Legalmei, Shachach Ma Shegamar Mirabo, he forgot what he had on tradition. With regard to this, he didn't know how to answer. Again, I don't know what Rashi came to add. So I guess in Rashi's Gemara, it didn't quote the end of the pasuk. So Rashi says, "Sefa dikra toivai, zona mufkeret vafilu yisraelit." So Rashi tells us, zona. Later on, the pasuk talks about a kutit. So what's zona? Zona, says Rashi, is mufkeret. A woman that's for free. Mufkeret means, how do you translate that?
Booze
or trans?
How do you translate after?
No, it's promiscuous. Promiscuous.
No.
Transferable?
No.
No.
No ownership? Sure. No hindrance? No.
Yeah, without unrestricted.
Okay. You understand, Rashi told us a big chiddush on Mufkeret. Meaning, if you tell me a zona, what's a zona? I would say someone who you pay money for that service. Rashi doesn't say that. Meaning, a mufkeret is not what I would say. If you'd ask me, I would stress the fact that she does it for money. Rashi says no. The stress is that she's mufkeret. I don't know if Rashi means mufkeret morally. I'm not sure what Rashi means. What's hefker by her?
Right.
Her body or what? It's not free. She charges. What does it mean mufkeret? I don't know. You know, her morals, I guess, but I don't know.
Surely the Chiddush is that he's saying that they don't have to pay money.
No. No, you see it. Nan zana, you see in the Torah. The Gemara assumes you do give something for her services, but and nonetheless, Rashi chooses the term hefker. So I'm not sure what Rashi's stressing.
Maybe she has
hefker.
No baal. She has no owner. It's like set. She goes to different places, which she's never owned.
Right. That's what I was thinking. That it's corresponding to the baal, but then that gives a different understanding to the baal.
What do you mean? The baal's a baal.
What?
I don't know.
Meaning, the term ish means ownership and baal means ownership.
Okay.
Okay, you're taking me. You guys want to discuss this for a minute? Just don't play this back to your wives. We'll go off on another tangent off our tangent. Ordinarily, when we talk about marriage, so we know marriage is encompassing on many levels. The Gemara has a term that there's Kiddushei Kesef, Kiddushei Shtar, Kiddushei Bia. There are three different ways you could engage a woman. The Gemara says they're all a prelude to Bia. So you'd say, what? That's all marriage is about? The Gemara says, that's what people are thinking about. That's the nature of humanity. There's more to marriage than that. But that's... We're going to develop this, but you got to let me develop this. You can't run out in the middle, okay? Because otherwise you're going to end up with the wrong ideas. So we have a concept of Kiddushin and Nisuin in marriage. What is Kiddushin? So you think it's two steps in a marriage, engagement and marriage. What's that? Just get married. What's that two-step process? So Rashi says that when you're Mekadesh, you're buying the right to be the one that's no say her. Kiddushin is really, imagine like this, you tell a woman, I want to buy the right to marry you, so I'm going to give you $1 million to be the right, to have the right to be the one that marries you. So we're elevating the idea of Nisuin, right? But the second a couple is Mikudash, the second is Mekadesh her, technically, she's prohibited from being with anyone else. Yeharig val yavor, right? We make a bracha on kiddushin. The osar lanu sarusos. The minute she's engaged, biblically, they could live together. Biblically, if she sleeps with anyone else, she gets a death penalty. He gets a death penalty. Yeharig val yavor. So today we do kiddushin and nisuin back to back. But technically, kiddushin, he doesn't know her ksuba yet. He doesn't. She's not his to the point where she eats his truma if he's a kohen and other things.
Is that pilegish?
Nope. That's meureset. Chazal didn't want the woman to be so cheap in the eyes of her husband, so Chazal said it's prohibited to be intimate with her until you do nisuin to protect the woman. But biblically, after kiddushin, they could do whatever they want. So what's the bracha of kiddushin? The bracha of kiddushin revolves around the idea that the two are faithful to one another, and that once a woman is mekudeshet, there's a biblical prohibition of yaharig val yaver for anyone else to be intimate with her. So far, we're together. Yes.
Well, question on what you said. I see it, but I never see it like technically why a man is. Restricted only to his wife. Like from a little bit that I know, I see more of the restriction on a woman, doing something with another man than a man doing
halachically.
Halachically, right?
That's true.
So
halachically,
in the kiddushin stage, it's more like they both they make a vow to each other.
Today, but I'm talking biblically, when you'd have kiddushin as a separate thing. Today we do them both under the chuppah. But in the days of Chazal, they'd have a year in between. And after Kiddushin, she was engaged to him in a biblical way. Now, for her to be with anyone else is Yarg Val Yavar. And if they wanted to be together in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, until they made this Takana, they could be together until marriage. From the time of Kiddushin, their husband and wife, other than a few obligations. He doesn't know her as much, he doesn't know him as much.
So what I meant was, like, if she's obligated, I mean, she's restricted only to be with her husband.
Right.
Where's the restriction for the man only to be with his wife?
That's a, you're talking about as far as going with another wife or another woman
another
altogether?
Woman.
So that's, it's not really, so on a biblical and a rabbinic level, it's not written into the Ksuba. Today we write it into the Ksuba from Cherem de Rabbeinu Gershom, that he's not allowed to marry a second wife. Now, other than that, today it's not a biblical prohibition, it's a prohibition of Bein Adam Lachaveiro, meaning that he entered the marriage with a certain understanding. It's like, but it's not that he affects her in any way. He might be affecting himself spiritually, he might be affecting the other woman spiritually, but it's more a breach of contract. It's a breach of an understanding between them. Meaning the, his obligation is their understanding of marriage, that he will be faithful to her. But it's not really a ben odin lamokom in its own right. For her, it's yarg val yavor. For him, it's not. It's, he's going against the faith that they have between them, which is serious. I mean, but it's still not biblical. It's not... So when a person is mekadesh, a woman, why is it that there's such a focus on intimacy? So that can be understood based on the way the Torah views intimacy altogether. Intimacy is supposed to be the epitome of togetherness, where he is the most considerate of her, she is the most considerate of him, and the Shekhinah is between them. If it is the greatest expression of affection between them, it is the greatest unity between them, it is the vehicle for the greatest unity between them. So you could understand that when we want to discuss marriage, we're discussing it in terms of the moment of greatest unity between them. It's not that we're focused only on that. We're focused on the two being together. That's marriage. But if you want to talk to me about marriage, so you say the words that are most expressive of that. Now, when a woman is enters on, into her husband's responsibility, he's responsible to clothe her, he's responsibility to feed her, he's responsible for her. Marriage is nisuin, he takes her on the shoulder, so to speak. He spreads his wing over her. He's responsible for her. So in that, and she, like you correctly pointed out, may not be intimate with any other man. So he has ownership not over her as a human being, but over that right. What he's really buying in marriage is that right, that you will be that close only with me and no one else. So that goes back to the Baal. It's not I, he doesn't own her. She doesn't, she's not his slave. He owns that right. Just like Kiddushin was, I buy the right to be Noseyu, so to Baalut is, I bought the right that that close you will be only with me. And then a Mufkeret would seem to be that no one has that right. She could be that close with whoever. Yeah?
No.
Okay, but you brought me to all that. That I thought you guys would think about on your own, but okay, we went off on a tangent. Yeah, Moshe, what's bothering you?
What's bothering me is that Rashi says about people in Israel.
Yeah. Because later...
we're talking about a goy here.
No, the Pasuk says... There were so many immoral activities in Yehuda.
Yeah.
Mishkav Zohar, Zona, Kutis. So Rashi has to explain, what's the Kutis? The Kutis isn't that he's marrying her. That's biblical. The Kutis is also a one-night stand. So why did he tell me Zona before Kutis? Aren't you going to cover that with a non-Jewish woman? You're going to say the next thing the Pasuk's going to address is they were immoral in that. Mishkav Zohar, Zona, Kutit, a non-Jewish woman. So if you're going to talk about the non-Jewish woman, why did the Pasuk have to spell out the Zona? So Rashi says, because Zona is a Jewish woman too. Yeah? Fair? Clear?
So what's the problem, sort of relating to what you said then, so what's the problem if there's a Jewish Zona inside the Ish?
Well, there's a biblical prohibition, Lo yitiyek desham ibnot Israel.
No, but, oh.
There is a biblical prohibition.
That's an Isra on the woman.
I don't know. It says Lotiyah, I'm not sure. I think from the Rambam that's
the man or something.
I don't remember. We have to look it up, but I think that's a different thing. But then you have a woman who says, no, I'm just with you.
Wait. So if there's an Isra, then why is this Kanaim Pogenbo?
Slowly. Kanaim Pogenbo was for a non-Jewish woman. We didn't say about a Zona Kanaim Pogenbo. A non-Jewish woman is Kanaim Pogenbo. A Jewish woman is a lav, and Bezdin can get into the picture. What happens if a Jewish woman says, I'm not going to go with every guy? A zona is that she has no consistency. She says, only you. He has a mistress. That's not a zona. I thought that's what Yisha was asking me. Or she says, I'm going to be celibate for 3 years. With you, I'm going to be with you tonight and celibate for the next 3 years. She's not a zona. A zona is from man to man. If she's not going from man to man, she's with him, and then she's going to be...
Regardless of there's like a if you're paying for the service?
Doesn't matter. That's not... No.
So she stays by him, she's a mistress.
Right.
What's that called?
Well, it's a breach of contract with his wife. No, well, if she's tovel for nida, so then it could be a pilegish.
Pilegish, yeah.
Machlokas Rashi Ramban. What's a pilegish? That could be a pilegish, where a pilegish comes from plagisha. She's a half a woman, meaning she doesn't really have any security. The two decide to be together. So there's a discussion. What has to happen between the two of them in order for her to be his pilegish? Yeah, there is such a concept. There's a machlokas rishonim whether a pilegish is only for a melech or also for a Yisraeli. But you guys are going off on big tangents now. Yeah, I'm with you.
You said that when a husband and his wife are together, at the highest point of their togetherness, the Shekhinah is between them.
Right.
Does that also apply when a man is together with a woman who's not his wife?
I don't think so.
I'm not necessarily talking about a one-night stands. I might say. His concubine, like a concubine or something.
No, I don't know. I don't know. The lashon of the Gemara is ish v'isha zochu shchina b'nein. It's mashma, a man and his wife, but that's a mashmaut, and the mashmaut of the Gemara in Soto also is mashma that it's a shchina in the home. The shchina is supposed to be in the home. The Gemara says before Am Yisrael was chote, the shchina used to be in everyone's home. After they went with other girls, which were the other girls of the Moabite girls, Hashem says, I can't be around your houses. Because the men were unfaithful. So it does affect the Kedusha of Nahom. Okay. Back to our Gemara. So this Pasuk says, what did he ask his Rebbe? Rav Kahan asked Rav. Let's say we don't deal with him. The guy was Boel Aramis, he was with a non-Jewish woman, and Kanaim didn't catch him in time. Okay, now what? So what's his punishment? So he tells him his punishment is in the hands of Shemayim, Yachret Hashem. Hashem will ensure to cut off of such a person any future, Elvonah. He won't have any big people come out of him, he won't have any Kohanim come out of him. So that's the punishment, it's in the hands of Shemayim. That was his answer, this whole drasha. Amar Rav Chiya bar Ravuya kol ha'ba'al akutit ke'ilu mitchaten ba'avodat kochavim. So he says, whoever lives with a non-Jewish woman, it's as though he married the idol. Why? Dichtiv uval bat el nechar. The pasuk describes it as he was intimate with the daughter of a Gentile god. V'chibat yesh lo le'el nechar. Does a Gentile god have daughters? What does it mean? He was intimate with the daughter of a Gentile god. That's what it means. If you were with her, then from God's perspective, it means you married the Gentile God. Think about it. A Jewish man, a Jewish woman, Shechina b'nem. A Jewish man and a non-Jewish woman, so El Nechar b'nem. There was a wicked king, Yoyakim, and the Navi warned him that he'd be punished. So it was etched into his skull after he died, the following words. This, and there's more to come. Meaning God's not finished with him. That was etched into his skull. So the Gemara then tells us an interesting story. Skeino de Rabbi Preida, Rabbi Preida's grandfather, otherwise known as Rabbi Chiya bar Avuya, he was walking in the marketplace one day, and he came across Ashkachahu Gulgalta. He came across a skull, Davashadia Bashare Yerushalayim. He sees the skull around the gates of Jerusalem, Vavakativiluya, Zot Vodacheret, and etched into the skull were these words, this and there's more to come. Kavra. So he said, oh boy, poor skull. He buried it. Vadanavuk. He saw it starts coming out of the ground again. Kavra, he buried it a second time. Ve'adanavuk. Every time he's coming to the gates of Jerusalem, he encounters this skull. What's he going to do? Amar ha'gulgalta shel Yoyakim. This must be the skull of the Judean king Yoyakim. Tichtiv Bey, it says about Yoyakim, kvurat chamo yikaver. He'll be buried like a donkey. He'll be dragged and thrown out of the gates of Jerusalem. So that's what's happening to his skull. He keeps getting dragged and thrown out of the gates of Jerusalem. He said, but nonetheless, this is the skull of a king. It's not their heretz to let it be shamed like this. Shakla, so he took the skull. He wrapped it up in fine silk. He took it home and he put it in a chest. Now here's a big mistake. We have a story that repeats itself from the beginning of time. That if you try to keep a secret from a woman, it's going to lead to problems. Once she knows there's a secret, you got problems. Adam Rishon tried to tell Chava one thing and led to problems. So he puts a skull wrapped in silk in a chest. Right? So Atai debitu chazita. His wife came along. Sees a skull wrapped in silk. Okay, interesting. Nafgat amralu l'shivivata. So she went to her neighbors and said, look what my husband brought home. We got a skull wrapped in silk. Amrila, so the women said to her, haidite takamaita. You know whose skull that is? That's his first wife's skull. Dilo kamanshila. He can't forget her, so he brought her home with him. Shagalta l'tanura. So she wasn't going to have any of that. She went home and heated up the oven. The kalta and burnt out the skull till the skull was all dust. She finished it off. Kiata, so he comes home and he goes to the chest and there's no skull. So he asks his wife. So she says, I took care of her. So he doesn't argue with her. Amar, he said to himself, Hainu dichtivi luya, that's what the pasuk says about him, zot vod acheret. He had another punishment still coming. There he had it. God wanted him to have one more thing. So that's, he had it. This Gemara always teaches me something. You know, what would the average person do if he came home? He'd give her a speech. You know what you just did? I tried to respect that skull. Couldn't you wait and talk to me? Shit. You had to burn it? No. Yeah, okay, stay there. This is what Hashem wanted.
I'm just afraid that the wife, when he would say Zot for Oda Cheretz, she might think that
it's her. She's next in line.
She's next.
And it's not.
Yeah.
No. That the skull was the first wife.
Right.
Yeah.
So Oda Cheret, and it's going out there was another wife.
I hear. Maybe he didn't say it to her.
She's going to start believing what the neighbor said.
And I thought that Ozota Oda Cheret, that she's the next one in line to be
the
skull.
Hey, look, I assume by now they had communication, you know. She could talk to me. Probably filled her in. So we just quoted this because this was also a quote from Rabbi Chiya Bar Avuya. This is the same Rabbi Chiya Bar Avuya that we quoted earlier. So now the Gemara continues. He's the one that said, Kol abal kutit kilu mitchaten b'avodat kochavim. So now the Gemara is going to come back, and this we also saw in the Ramban. This is a very important Gemara. It's built on here and in Avodah Zarah and in Shabbos. The three places that the Gemara discusses this. The Takana regarding non-Jewish women. So the Torah, and here Rashi says it later on in the Gemara, the Torah prohibits marrying a non-Jewish woman. Derech hitchatnut, by way of marriage. We share a home, we live together, that's biblically prohibited. A one-night stand, the Torah doesn't deal with. That's an excellent question. Let's wait. That's why I said derech hitchatnut. You're right. Technically, there is no kiddushin, there is no nisuin. You're right. So how did I describe it? I said if you both live in the same home. I said derech hitchatnut, by way of marriage. You're 100% right.
It just has to be living in the same home for a day, less than a day.
No. I don't know how long it is. Maybe it's 30 days. It's a derech keva. I am after a fest. I got to think. I pour you a cup of water?
Yeah.
What about you, Yishai?
I'm okay. Thank you.
So biblically, it's not prohibited to have relations with a non-Jewish woman one time.
Correct.
Okay. So
but he could die doing it. Kanon Pogenbaum.
Right.
That's where we're going to have to start working it out. Meaning the Ramban is going to say it's biblically prohibited. You see, Kanan Pogan Bo.
But then the Ramban...
Let's, what?
Who are these Kanayans sticking their nose into everyone's business? Well, like,
can
I have to tell you, I want
to see you doing the act, otherwise they can't even... It's like the whole problem with the...
They smelt the isser just in the air.
It's like the whole problem with the police charging people with prostitution. They have to see you in the act in order to, like, take you to court or whatever.
Let's hear the Gemara, because this Gemara will give us... This is the Gemara we need between these three Gemaros to understand where the Ramban is coming from and the weights in both directions. So far, what we saw is the Gemara seems to say he's getting the death penalty. Later on, the Gemara is going to say, you can't give the death penalty if you don't have a biblical basis. But now the Gemara is going to say that biblically, there's no Isser, like you just said. So that's where we're going to have to balance off that. Just a second, Yishayah. Yeah.
So if somebody who's a zealot, like in Kass, like what he did, was he executing a sentence from Beit Din Shemala?
Excellent question. It's the bottom of the page. The Gemara is going to get there. That's the Gemara which I wasn't sure if we should do or not, but I figure you guys are going to enjoy it, so we'll do it. Back to the Gemara. Yeah.
According to the one who says that it's not a biblical prohibition, would there at least be a rabbinical prohibition against it?
Yeah, for sure. It's what we're about to read. Okay. Next Gemara. Kiata Ravdimi. When Ravdimi came, he's coming from where? Eretz Yisrael. To where? To Bavel. It's the Babylonian Talmud. Kiata, when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Now, Ravdimi was a disciple of Rav Yochanan, the chief rabbi of Israel who wrote the Jerusalem Talmud. So, when Ravdimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he told him some stuff that he had on tradition from Israel. What did he say? Betino shel Chashmonai gazru. The Beis Din of the Chashmonaim, they made the following decree. Haba lakutit chayav aleha mishum nashga. A person who had a one-night stand with a non-Jewish woman, with a kutit, he is chayav for nashga. What is nashga? Nida, shifcha, goya, and eshetish. So let's see Rashi. Chayav aleha, says Rashi, kilomar. Whenever we see that in Rashi, we have to pause. Ne'nash ba mishum koleilu. He's going to be punished for all four things. Nida. What do you mean nida? Aval pi shedam kutit kedam beima mikol makom yus v'chilu l'kedushat Hashem. Technically, now this is a fantastic concept. No. If a Jewish woman marries a non-Jewish man, she has to go to mikvah. She's over an aver every day, right? But she still has the Isser of Nida. Meaning, when he is with her, that's still the Isser of Nida. She has to go to mikvah. We won't let her into the mikvah if we know she's married to a non-Jewish man. She has to do it without anyone knowing, whatever. But technically, she is still a Nida, and she still has the Isserim with him. But if a man goes with a non-Jewish woman, the non-Jewish woman has no concept of Nida. Well, I don't know. To me, that's like, if the Torah didn't say so, I'd say be consistent.
I mean, she's not Jewish. How could she have an itchavot for Nida?
So he's not Jewish. How could that be called Tashmish? Psach amurim, psach amis, umatsusim, zirmatam. How come his relations are called relations? There you say physically it's relations. So why don't you say...
The women. The kodiyot of the women, say, not of the men.
This is impurity we're talking about. It's a,
yeah, the woman's impure.
That exists only within Jews.
Okay, fine. Okay, it's a note. The machlokes is ba'ohel. Back, that's why I wasn't so like, So nida, so even though their blood is irrelevant, it's not tameh, nonetheless, nida over here, Rashi says, that's disgusting. How could you do that? So, no, she's not menstruating now. We're talking about afterwards. But he's chayav if he was with her, mishum nida. So Rashi says he's going to be punished because it's a chilul to the holiness of Hashem. Just like going with a nida. Mm. That's a very hard Rashi, the way Rashi is learning Pshati.
So yeah? would he be sentenced to death like if he had relations with him?
Wait, let's hear the Gemara out. He's not talking about Bidei Adam. This is Bidei Shamayim. We can't do anything. There were goes there. So what does that mean? There were gozer. What were they mechadish with their gzeira? They were mechadish. The Torah didn't prohibit one night stands. We're telling you, not only it's prohibited, he's going to be punished. Mishum nida, mishum shifcha, shehike shifcha etzlo, sheknesti said gvira nikret. What are you going with her for? You're a bnei melachim. What are you going with shifcha? You'll tell me she's a princess? No, not next to you.
What's a shifcha here?
Shifcha's a maid.
What does that mean, going with a shifcha?
Again, it's the same idea.
Same
idea. The question is, what do you gain with each one, right? Ovedet kochavim, lo titchaten bam, ki asiret mincha. Kol ha-mesirot et ha-lev b'mashma. When the Torah prohibits marrying her, the Torah says, because she will lead your heart astray. From here you understand, the Torah didn't want you to enter any relationship that would lead your heart astray. Umi ulav de lo titchaten leka deoraita de derech chatnut mashma. You can't say there's the biblical prohibition because that's only derech chatnut, what we said earlier. Ubetinoch shechashmonai gazru delifrosh mina mishum kolhani. They said because of these ideas, we should separate from them. Meaning, until the Bezna of the Chashmonaim, Bayis Rishon, Golus Bavel, the beginning of Bayis Sheni, you want to, not nice, no, but we don't, you could get Mafter Yonah. Yeah? Come along in Bezna Chashmonaim and say, Lifrosh Mina, stop, it's not nice. Eishes Ish, says Rashi, Velav Mamash, what Ishai pointed out. She's not really an Eishes Ish. The Kiddushin Netlu, they don't have such a concept. But it's like an Eishes Ish. You start with her, so who knows where a person can end up? He could end up with adultery too. So the Bezna of Chashmonaim prohibited it Mishum Eishet Ish. The other understanding says the Gzera was Nashgaz. Kiata Ravin, Amar Ravin said, they were gozer mishum nashgaz, nida shifcha goya zona. Aval mishum ishud letlu, they don't have marriage. Vidach nashal vadalo mafkirim. And Ravdimi says, no, even though they don't have biblical marriage, but they watch over their wives. They're not letting the wives do whatever they want. Meaning they have a concept, she's my wife. Okay, that needs discussion today. That was a discussion we had in the yeshiva this week. We have a rule, we assume a person doesn't do things unless he has in mind it's for Kiddushin. So one of the rabbeim suggested that today you can't say that chazaka anymore. Today people do things for znos. You can't say that chazaka. In the days of Chazal, it was one thing. Today, no one has any concept of marriage. People do a lot of things and that you can't say that. Okay, so I don't agree with him, but I think we have to end on time. So we'll pick up here. You guys want, we could learn something else.